Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to ask you if you're physically able, would you stand with me out of reading respect for the Word of God? Matthew chapter 14, and we'll start reading in verse number 22. The Word of God says, Matthew 14, 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit! And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter," you remember loudmouth Peter, "answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him, and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Tonight, in the few minutes we have remaining, I'd like to preach you a simple message the Lord has laid on my heart. How to walk on water. Thank you. May be seated. When we open Matthew chapter 14, we find Jesus and the disciples. Jesus has been teaching all day, and as he has done this, he is weary in body, and he sends his disciples on the Sea of Galilee to go over to the other side, and Jesus goes apart to pray. We find other instances throughout the Gospels where Jesus is with his disciples, but in this particular instance, he is not with them in bodily form. Jesus says, y'all go ahead, I'm going to go pray. Jesus sends his disciples in the ship. Jesus goes unto a mountain to pray. And as is typical around the Sea of Galilee that is surrounded by mountains, the wind would sweep around the mountains, and it could do so quickly and create a storm out of nowhere. And the storm comes up, and the waves begin to crash and all of these things, and they are in the storm-tossed sea trying to go over, and all of a sudden, they see Jesus walking on the water. But they don't know it's Jesus. And they say, it's a spirit! And they're afraid. They are scared, if I can say it this way, for their lives. They're wondering, what is this? And what would you and I do if we saw somebody walking on the water in the middle of a storm in the middle of the night? And these disciples, many of them grew up on this sea. And you just kind of wonder, okay, as in other sea and other fishermen's stories, you know, that we hear about, you know, the monsters that come out of the sea and all the, I don't know, you just wonder, what are they thinking this really is? And he says, it's a spirit! And then he says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And then Peter. Okay, granted, most of the time when we look at Peter, we call him a big mouth. Right? I mean, Peter, why would you open your mouth? Why would you? Seriously, aren't you any better marksman? Can't you cut off his head, not his ear? I mean, you get the idea. I mean, Peter, if I can say this kindly, he's a smart, ignorant man. Okay? But in this passage, Peter does something that no other disciple ever does or ever did. And he says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And you know what Jesus says? Come. Peter walked on water with Jesus. You know, many times when I look at the Word of God, I see that being the Christian life. Jesus says, I want to show you something special. I want to show you the abundant, wonderful, prayer-answering, clean, victorious, wonderful Christ life. Yes. Many times, we dust God off to find Him at church on Sunday and Wednesday. And we've completely forgot Him all week. We have forgotten who God is. He is not a part of our life. And it's almost as if we are Christians. But we could almost call ourselves ends because we've thrown Christ out. Does that make sense? It's just almost as if, oh yeah, Christ, yeah. How many times have you, like I have, laid in bed at night and thought, oh, I didn't pray about that. I didn't involve God in that at all. Whatever happened to the Christ life? When we open John chapter number 15, he describes the Christ life, the life of a Christian, of what we heard this morning, normal Christian living. Did you know normal Christian living is having your prayers answered? Every time. Some people say, well, God didn't answer me. Well, then according to Jeremiah 33:3, you're not listening. Or you've severed the phone cord. Because God always answers. He may answer yes. He may answer no. He may answer wait. God always answers. When was the last time you saw God answer prayer? You know, God answering prayer is normal Christian living. Oh, when was the last time you had victory? I'm not talking about sinless perfection. But walking in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the Christian life. That's the Christ life. That's normal. That's revival. When was the last time you were joyful? You know, John 15, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. He says, for without me you can do nothing. And he says, and when you're walking with me, you will have a clean life. He says in that same passage, now are you clean through the word. He says that we ask what we will and he will answer us. He told us in the same passage in John chapter 15, he says this, he says, listen, he says that you may have abundant joy. How many times have you seen a Christian that looks like a bass with chapped lips? They look like they're miserable. In North Carolina, we say they look like they have a pound of liver hanging off the bottom lip. When was the last time you saw a Christian that no matter what they were going through, they had joy? Peace. That's normal. Christian life. That's the Christ life described through all of the Bible. We look at the characters of the Bible and we say, wow, aren't they something special? Wait. Do you realize there are no great men? There's just one great God who uses anyone yielded to Him. And their lives is normal Christianity. What happened to our lives? What happened to answered prayer? What happened to victory? What happened to joy? What happened to being clean? What happened to answered prayer? What happened to all that? That's normal. And Peter, he's here in the boat, and he's looking at all the wind and the storm, and he sees someone walking on the water, and he says, whoa, I'm fearful. And Jesus says this. Notice what he says in verse number 27. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Jesus says, hey, there's nothing to fear when you're looking at me. There's nothing to fear when you're following me. There's nothing to fear in the Christian life when you have Jesus Christ. That's right. Whatever happened to Jesus Christ in our churches? That's right. That's good. People ask all the time, well, why doesn't God send a revival like He did in John Wesley's day? Why don't we see the tavern shut down? Why don't we see everything change like in Billy Sunday's day? And they often ask me, how come that God doesn't let that happen anymore? And my answer is, did God change? So why don't we see it? Me? It's me. God says, if my people, you want to see God work? Well, He's the same God. He never left His throne. When was the last time you looked at Him and said, Lord, I need You today? Hey, right here in this passage, Peter, loudmouth Peter, does something that no other disciple ever got to claim. Peter's in the boat. Jesus is on the sea. Jesus says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter said, well, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus says, come. And friend, Jesus says, come to you and me too. Does he not say, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And I've heard that preached, speaking up to the lost, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. But that's not the context. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor. How can you labor if you don't know him? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor. Come, come. He says the same thing to you and me, and I submit to you that Christian living is normal. Christian living is walking on water, if I can say it that way. Christian living is something we look at and we say, that's abnormal. And you know why we think it's abnormal? Because we live subnormal lives. We have forgotten Jesus Christ. We've thrown him out. It's almost Jesus. Oh yeah, Sunday. What do the kids learn about in Sunday school? You ask anyone, little kids, Jesus. What did you learn about at home today? Would they answer Jesus? Hey, when was the last time in your day, through your day, you approached Jesus with every problem? Every circumstance. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Who do you want me to talk to today? Lord, make those divine appointments. And let me follow you. And Peter right here, he says, Lord, if it's you, hey, I'm here to tell you something. God is there. The Holy Spirit is able. We serve a big God. We serve a Holy Spirit who is there to help us, there to lead us, there to direct us. And we think it's something spooky and something we hear about in church and we don't live it. But he says in John 15, abide in me. He says, Peter, come. I dare say that it's pretty exciting walking on water. But you know what the secret to Peter walking on water was? He trusted and then he obeyed. And by faith, he stepped out of the boat. Get this. Looking unto Jesus. Jesus knows what he's doing. Jesus said, come, so I'm going to come. Hey, listen, Jesus said, pray, so we should pray. Jesus says, trust me for answer prayer, so shouldn't we trust him for answer prayer? When we pray for rain, why don't we take an umbrella when we go somewhere? I mean, whatever happened to faith? Whatever happened to God said it, I prayed about it because the Holy Spirit led me to pray about it, and I'm just going to trust God. When was the last time God laid someone on your heart to give the gospel to? And he said, I must do that. Oh, that inside. Oh, it's like God's leading me there. And then he said, nah, not today. I'll do it tomorrow. I don't have time today. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, I'm saying, come. 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 Peter's the only one that came. He's the only one that by faith said, okay, woo! And he's walking on water. And the delights, the design of walking on water. Look at this. The design of the Christian life is to be victorious. That's right. All right. The design of the Christian life is to have answered prayer. That's right. The design of the Christian life is to see God in every part of your life. Not just on Sunday. Right. Not just in your devotion time or if you drink coffee or coffee time. Not just on Wednesday night prayer meeting. When was the last time when you knocked on someone's door, you said, I know God's with me right now. And I know God, the Holy Spirit, can work in their heart to save them. Friend, you're not alone. He says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He says, I am with you. He says, come, come, come. That's the Christian life. That's normal from the Bible. And Peter jumps out of the boat and we say, woo, way to go, Peter. And there are many times where you and I do jump out of the boat. We say, oh, that sounds wonderful. I think I'm going to try it. And we jump out of the boat. Holy Spirit, I'm going to trust you on this. Lord, I'm going to trust you on this. You laid this on my heart. I'm going to do it. Lord, I don't have that money to give, but you told me to be a cheerful giver. And you laid that on my heart to put in the offering. Oh, got quiet. You notice it always gets quiet when any preacher talks about money. You ever notice that? How about this? Oh, the Lord told me to go talk to so-and-so. Oh, I don't know about that. I think I'll get back in the boat. Ever been there? Jesus says, go. Go. Peter jumps out of the boat. It's God's design for Peter to jump out of the boat and walk to him. Peter's walking on water. And God wants you and me to walk on water. He wants you and me to see him work in a great way. Hey, I just wonder if the apostles in the New Testament turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ, how many more people would it take today to jump out of the boat to turn the world upside down again? And I am convinced one to influence another. To influence another. To influence a church. To influence America. To influence a world. But it will never get to the world. It will never get to America. It will never get to our church. It will never get to our families until it starts with me. Getting right with God about my sin. Calling sin what God calls sin. And jumping out of the boat by faith saying, God said it. And by the way, it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not, that settles it. It settles it. All right. So Peter, he's in the boat. Jesus says, come. He jumps out of the boat. He begins to walk on water. He is coming to Jesus just like Jesus said. Oh, and then something happens. I mean, you know the story. Don't you remember the flannel graph? You know, Moses and David were the same characters on different weeks. You get the idea? They look this, oh, that's Moses this week. Next week, that's David. That looked like Moses from last week. You get the idea. You know this story. Peter, he's walking on the water. He is the key to walking on water, is looking unto Jesus that we heard this morning. The key to the Christian life that we heard in Sunday school is Jesus, normal Christian life, revival. Peter is walking on water, and then all of a sudden, wham, he takes his eyes off Jesus. You realize that's all Peter did to begin to sink? He got distracted. You say, how do you know that? Notice what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. When he saw, there are a lot of things that can distract us. You know, in Proverbs, one of the biggest things that we find that God warns us against, people. People distract us from walking on water. Oh, we need to have answered prayer. Woo! Well, I'm going to pray and see God answer prayer. And then somebody comes up and says, yeah, but God probably won't answer that. But just so you know. Why not? And we say, oh, okay, well, maybe I should pray it differently. Hey, if the Holy Spirit laid it on your heart to pray it, you better pray it. And believe it. That's right. And see God do it. You say, ah, I just don't know. God laid it on my heart about that standard of music or of dress. Or God laid that on my heart to provide that for someone else. Or God laid that on my heart to go speak to someone. And then people distract us. Well, they're not doing it, so I can just sit here. No wonder we don't see things done for Jesus Christ. We're too busy. If I can say it this way, we're too busy building pretty little churches that we've lost the power of God. God's work in general is powerless because we've forgotten about Jesus. We've taken our eyes off of Jesus. We've put them on people. We've put them on things. Get this, we've put them on problems. I hear this all the time. God's not fair. Open your Bible and show me one time God promised to be fair. But He did promise to be faithful. And granted, Jesus knows what He's doing. There's nothing that comes to you but what His love allows. He knows what you're going through, friend. He knows the problems. Then why do we let problems take our eyes off of Jesus? And either we get back in the boat or we begin to sink. And we swim to the boat and climb back in. Jesus says, I designed the Christian life to walk on water. I designed for you to abide in me. I designed for you to see me, not every Sunday, every moment of every day of every part of your life. Say, so what do I do? Oh, what do we do? Sunday school. Morning service. Oh, I took my eyes off Jesus. What do? You put them back on him. Cleanse the power of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us. Not just forgive us. Clean us completely up. Completely. Because he's faithful and just. Wow. You say, that sounds pretty interesting. Yes, but friend, more than interesting, that's God. And God says when you step out of the Spirit, you step back in by getting right. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's normal Christian living. My eyes on Jesus. Seeing what Jesus can do. And we find here in this passage, all Peter does is take his eyes off Jesus. And he begins to sink. This is where I hear a lot of preachers fault Peter. Didn't Peter trust and obey? Didn't he? He says, come. Peter says, okay. You know, Peter doesn't hesitate. A lot of us, when Jesus would say, come, would say, oh, wait a minute. Let me rethink this now. Okay, is this really what Jesus wants me to do today? Peter says, okay. Whoop. He's out. He trusted that Jesus said what he meant. When was the last time you trusted what Jesus said what he meant? And he meant what he said? He trusted and then he obeyed. That's the Christian life. Trusting and then obeying and seeing God do great and mighty things. Jeremiah says, which ye know not of. Great and mighty things, which ye know not. And if you read in the context there, he's saying, you know them not. Because you haven't even called and trusted. It's not so much of, I'm going to show you amazing things. It's, you'll never know. Because you haven't called. Wow. Peter jumps out of the boat. Peter begins to walk on water. He's walking to Jesus, looking at Jesus. And then Peter takes his eyes off. He looks at the problems that are around him. And granted, friend, there are problems that come to the Christian life. But get this. God promises in John 15 to give joy no matter the problem. The design of the Christian life is to walk on water. And that's what Peter's doing. He takes his eyes off and he begins to sink. And we say, oh, Peter, you fool. Why don't you keep your eyes on Jesus? I'd be careful to call Peter a fool. We do the same thing. Don't we? Don't we? Walking out by faith and then, whoop. All because we took our eyes off Jesus. People always ask me, why do churches shut their door? Because they kicked Jesus out a long time ago. Why do families fall apart? Because the Bible center of the home is Jesus, and when it's not, they will fall apart. Same as Peter. Many times we fault Peter. We say, Peter, you took your eyes off Jesus. He did. But he's the only one that got out of the boat. Oh, and get this. He's the only one that saw he needed Jesus again and called back out. He says, Lord, save me. Guess what Jesus did? He saved him. And when you find yourself sinking, hey, friend, because of who Jesus is and my identity in him, he will save me. I'm not speaking of salvation here. I'm speaking of back and walking in the Spirit. The power of 1 John 1:9. And so Jesus reaches out and he brings Peter back up. And we say, oh man, Peter, he sunk. He did. But then this is something that I had never seen before. Notice what the Bible says right here. Verse number 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And get this, Jesus does not rebuke Peter for his faith. He says, O thou of little faith, why'd you doubt? You know, God's not looking for great faith. He's looking for faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed. He's looking for little faith. We don't even have that. He doesn't rebuke Peter here for his faith. He says, Peter, you had faith. You were walking on water. You know what Jesus rebukes Peter for? Why'd you take your eyes off me? Peter, you had faith. That's wonderful. But why'd you doubt? Why did you look at the problems, the people? Isn't that what we do? And we many times end the story there. But it's not over. Notice what happens. He said, Peter, why'd you doubt? Verse number 32. And when they were... Wait. Did you get that? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. I don't know if you got it right there. I've never heard anyone deal with this before. But it's right there. Jesus hears Peter call him. If I can say it this way for forgiveness. Jesus forgives him. Peter gets back up and walks on water. He doesn't stay in the water. He walks on water. And he's walking with Jesus. God's design. Look unto me. Come! So many Christians have never come out of the boat. They're comfortable. God lays on their heart to help in a Sunday school class or in a junior church. And they say, but I'm not comfortable. Seems to me like Jesus is powerful enough to give you comfort. And you can trust Him. I just don't know if I can go knock doors. You can't. Jesus can. I just don't know if I can live the Christian life. You can't! That's why it's called the Christ life. Christian. I can't. He says, without me, ye can do. Get this. A lot of times we think, I can do a little bit. No, no, no. Jesus says nothing. Nothing. And he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can trust Him every step of the way. The people of the Bible, get this, I can have the same incredible life that they did. Hebrews 11, the hall of faith we heard about this morning. Oh, people who stopped the mouths of lions. Great Christians. No. They just recognized they served a great God. That's it. Because there are no great Christians. Remember, all my righteousness, filthy rags. It's all about trusting Jesus, looking to Jesus, following Jesus every step of the way. Did Peter sin? Did he fail? Did Peter take his eyes off Jesus? Yes! But he's the only one that got out of the boat while all the other 11 were just standing by watching. I just wonder what would have happened had all 12 of them stepped out of the boat. You know, throughout the whole Scripture, we never see Peter mentioning this. But I guarantee you, he never forgot. Friend, when was the last time you just said, I'm going to trust Jesus. And I'm going to obey Him. I may not understand what God's doing here. I may not understand why the Holy Spirit is leading me to do this. But I'm going to trust Him and see Him work. Jump out of the boat. God laid it on my heart to help clean the bathrooms of the church. Do it. When we ask God to work and He does, do it! And by the way, it's not about me doing. Without me, you can do nothing. It's about me just trusting Him. Looking unto Jesus. With this, and I'm done. I was preaching several months ago in Troy, Ohio. We saw God do some great things throughout the week. And many come to Christ. Saw many respond and deal with God. Get right with God. Deal with the sin. Claim God's forgiveness. And experience that revival. That lasting, normal, Christian life. The real from the Bible. They came out of the boat. Followed Jesus. Saw Him do some great things. This young lady came up to me. Young married lady. She said, "Preacher, can I talk to you a minute?" I said, "Sure." We're standing there in the fellowship hall at the end of of that night. And people are moving around and stacking chairs and things like that. And she said, "Preacher, have you ever seen a perfect baby?" Let me just tell you. When people come up to me and ask me about their baby, I still can't figure out what to say. They say, "Isn't this baby cute?" I'm thinking, no. "What do you think of my baby?" I have a pat answer. You ready? "It's a baby." She said, "Have you ever seen a perfect baby?" I said, "No, I haven't. I really haven't." I thought she was messing around. She said, "I'd like to show you a perfect baby." I said, "Okay." You know, I'm thinking, pull out your phone. He used to pull out your wallet. Now you pull out your phone. Show me a picture of her daughter, you know. She did. I've been around death enough times to know what death looks like. She showed me a picture of a newborn baby. All wrapped up, you know, with a little toboggan. Baby in space was, and I'm not trying to be crude, it's black and blue. I knew what the picture was. "What do you say?" She said, "That's a perfect baby." She said, "I carried the baby full term. And the day before I was to deliver, we heard the heartbeat." She said, "I delivered and the baby had gone to be with Jesus." Friends, I cannot imagine. I've never been there. But I have talked to enough who have gone through that same situation. But you know, that's hard. She was sad, and I could tell. But there was an aspect of peace I had never seen before in someone that had gone through that. She said, "That's a perfect baby. Because when that baby was born, it was already with Jesus." I said, "You mind if I ask you a question?" She said, "No, not at all." I said, "I have talked to many who have gone through the same situation. But I've never seen the peace that I see in your eyes and through your voice from your heart." I said, "What's the difference between you and them?" And to the day I die, I'll never forget what she told me. I said, "What's the difference?" And she said, "Jesus." She said, "I've been able to look to Jesus the whole time." And she says, "I'm sad." But she said, "The peace and the joy that I know I'll see her again." She said, I can look to Jesus. Let me tell you, that young lady learned to walk on water. Trust Jesus. Find peace. Find joy. That's the normal Christian life. That's part of the normal Christian life. But so many Christians, so many churches, living their lives without looking unto Jesus. We've forgotten Him. we've sunk and we've stayed. Some of us have watched Jesus for a while and then we've looked at everything else and we're still looking. Some of us, we have jumped out of the boat and jumped back in. Some of us have been looking to Jesus, but we're about to let these things take our eyes off of Him. Some of us, we're still in the boat. Not looking at Jesus. We're still afraid that it's just the Spirit. I ask you tonight this simple question. Are you walking on water? Are you living the normal Christian life? Is Jesus something for Sunday? See, every part of your life. Who is Jesus to you?